This episode of Daily Drive is brought to you by TradeRev, the digital dealer-to-dealer auction platform revolutionizing automotive sales. Give your auction inventory a fast, one-way ticket off your lot with TradeRev, a car global company.
Welcome to Daily Drive. I'm Steve Schmidt with Automotive News, filling in this week for Jason Stein. It's Friday, July 24th. You'd pass it if you didn't know what you were looking for. Tucked away off a country road about a mile off historic Route 66 in the small community of Hamel, Illinois. A nondescript metal building surrounded by fields of corn soaking up the hot, humid weather that summers in the Midwest are famous for. You would probably also be surprised to learn about what happens inside that building. The setting could not be more idyllic for Gateway Bronco founder and CEO Seth Burgett and his team of master crafters, hard at work, restoring an iconic American automotive brand that for decades has been synonymous with the great outdoors. Seth and his team are also going beyond restoration. They are incorporating modern technologies and modern materials as part of the frame-off restoration process that is done completely in-house at the company's 60,000-square-foot home. They've even experimented with electrified powertrains, a technology that Seth believes has a lot of opportunity to grow in the restoration and custom segment. Ford's unveiling of the new Bronco earlier this month marked an important moment in the hearts of enthusiasts and companies like Gateway Bronco. Why? And what is Seth hearing from his clients in response to the new Bronco? We caught up with Seth at his shop in Hamel, Illinois. Hi, Seth. It's good to hear your voice. How are you doing?
Hi, Steve. We're doing great. Thank you very much.
Well, good. So why don't we hop in? How's the custom restoration business going these days?
Yeah, you know, for our business, it's booming, and we feel extremely fortunate through this time frame of maybe a challenging economy that we're in a boom, and we've hit all of our KPIs for the month of July to date, and it looks like by the end of the month, we'll have all of our performance indices met. And in three major areas. So it's a booming time for us.
What is the revival of the Ford Bronco mean to enthusiasts and your customers? What have you heard from folks that might be interested in doing what Gateway Bronco does? How's the barometer, if you will, from your circles from the introduction and the launch of the new Bronco?
Well, the barometer from our side, Steve, is that Ford really nailed this. And there's a lot of apprehension, a lot of excitement, not having their hands on the vehicle, but up to this point, it has been an absolute flat-out success. And everyone we have mentioned it has said, yes, I want one. When can I have it? And so we've put 100 units on allocation, and without even mentioning it, we're already selling units. And so this is, I think it's a very positive sign that both the two-door and the four-door Bronco are an outrageous success prior to being built and tested, of course. But I think the Bronco is really ready for that revival.
So over the last few years, as Gateway Bronco has established and has grown the way it has grown, you've largely been focused around restoration and customs, et cetera. Can you talk a little bit about how the launch of the new vehicle is impacting your business? And you know, as much as you can and is appropriate, how are you bringing the new Bronco into the custom restoration business over at Gateway?
Yeah, no, it's a great question, Steve. So, you know, the custom restoration business is really twofold, right? So we have the restoration business to restore an original 1966 to 77 Bronco and make it at any level someone would like. But the other side of that is we're licensed from Ford Motor Company to reproduce a brand new Bronco of a 66 to 77 design. So we are the licensed manufacturer for Ford for that era of vehicle. And so the little distinction there, but we can build a 1972 Bronco in 2020 with all 2020 metal. That's a unique thing. And that business is truly an exciting place to be, with the Low Volume Manufacturers Act being enabled potentially later this year. That business is definitely a V8-driven Coyote powertrain vehicle that is a high-sport, Just a fun, it's a Mustang GT in a Bronco body is the way I would describe it. And the new Bronco, you know, coming from Ford, I think will fit right in where we will then provide a V8 version of the new Bronco post-title and provide that to our client base who wants to have a pair. A matched pair is kind of the general theme where they want to have a vintage vehicle in Brittany Blue and a new vehicle in Brittany Blue, both with a Coyote V8. And they know how much fun that will be. And one may be a daily driver and one may be a sunny day driver, but they're going to enjoy both.
So it's interesting. You know, Ford has taken now, this is the launch of the Bronco is the second example of how they are expanding under what traditionally had been a single vehicle nameplate, the Mustang. And now they are, you know, they are introducing new models under the Mustang brand, namely the Mach-E, and they seem to be taking, or clearly are taking, the same approach with Bronco, with now three models under the Bronco nameplate. What are the implications to the business? What are the implications to the industry from the nameplate? What do you think about that strategy?
Well, you know, I think the Bronco and the Mustang have just such a great heritage, such a brand equity behind the name that my personal opinion is, I think it makes a lot of sense on the Bronco. I haven't really thought through all the tiers of how it works for the Mustang, but certainly for the Bronco, I see how it works really well. I think that the Raptor name could have some legs, and there's been some talk about that becoming a broader brand outside of the F-150. But for the Bronco, I think it works really well, and I think it gives more choices for the customer who knows and appreciates the brand and has different variants of their needs, and then having that met with a vehicle with the same name and different, you know, two-door, four-door, and the new Sport. I think it's personally, I think it's a great strategy, and if done right, can be pulled off with great success.
So I'd like you to talk a little bit about the importance of this relationship that you have with Ford Motor Company, and maybe broadly the importance of relationships that companies like yourselves have with OEMs in this custom, this restoration business. How important is that relationship? What are you finding in those partnerships? What are some things maybe others could learn, perhaps in the supply base, about working with OEMs so closely in such a close partnership?
Yeah, so a couple of pieces in there. To kind of unpack that, I think having the licensees working together. So we work with a couple of the other licensees from Ford Motor Company, one of those being the frame manufacturer, another being the body shell manufacturer. And all being the licensees or the license manufacturers for Ford gives us an ability to work tighter on projects that people probably didn't expect would come. And so I think what you'll see over these next kind of 6 to 12 months is you'll see some special projects that will kind of blow people away and say, wow, I didn't know that was coming, because we can work together as partners at the same level under the same quality standard that Ford sets and work together with a common language. And this gives us an advantage that we can provide a product to the end consumer, a vintage design, let's say, that maybe was never produced, but that can be produced. And I think that gives the consumer even more choices. And I think that'll be important. In terms of other companies and recommendations for other companies to work with OEMs, you know, I think that you'll see some things coming out of FCA, you know, and Chrysler. I think Dodge and Chrysler are working on some things. And there's potentially something out of GM, but I've heard of some pretty strong solutions for the vintage problem or the vintage need from the Chrysler side of the world. And so you may see some really interesting projects coming out of FCA over this next kind of 12 months that people will be like, wow, didn't see that coming. But that comes from smaller companies like ours with the willingness and the engineering horsepower to work with the larger OEMs so we can then at some level partner together to produce a unique differentiated product to consumers.
So I want to go back to two more. I think we've got time for about two more questions here. I want to go back to a couple of things that you said earlier and maybe explore those a little bit more. You had talked about how Gateway Bronco essentially can, you know, build a 2020 version of a 60s, 70s Bronco. When you think about electrified powertrains through that same lens, is there a future for electrified powertrains in the world that you live in, and the products that you're restoring and that you're building? What's the future of electrified in that segment?
You know, that is definitely a growing segment. It's a segment that we're investing in heavily, and we're seeing that the order flow coming for an EV vintage Bronco is growing. What we have is we have a client base that both owns a Ford Raptor and a Tesla. Just to be clear, a Ford Raptor and a Tesla is a very typical customer of ours. And so they've got maybe a carbon footprint that's larger with the Raptor and perceived smaller with the Tesla. And they're familiar with both. They feel like the EV can provide them something differentiated, and it meets their needs for their weekend use, their sunny day driver use, and their strong desire for it. And it's not just in the U.S. We've got international demand for the product. And so, you know, we think that it's definitely an area worth investing in. It's an area that we're producing in, and we think that it will continue to grow, it seems, as those early adopters receive their vehicles, enjoy their vehicles, provide testimonials for those vehicles. Then the kind of second wave right after those early adopters will begin picking up, an EV order as well.
So last question, you had touched upon earlier the Small Volume Manufacturers Act. What's the state of that? What's the challenge? What's next? What are you hoping happens here before the end of the year?
Well, what we understand is through SEMA, the organization that supports small manufacturers like ours, that the Low Volume Manufacturers Act will be able to be used and physically manufacture vehicles sometime in the September, October, November timeframe of this year. Nothing is guaranteed, but the last information we have is that there was significant progress made with NHTSA. There was significant progress made with CARB and with the EPA, and that we would be able to begin manufacturing in potentially the kind of third, fourth quarter of this year.
Well, terrific. I know that holds a lot of promise for you and for others like you that are working in this space. And I think you ended it with the mention of SEMA. And hopefully that goes on again this year. And hopefully we have a chance to run into each other face to face out there. So thank you, Seth. I appreciate the time. Congratulations on everything that Gateway is doing. And best of luck with the launch of the new Bronco and your business.
Thank you so much, Steve. Look forward to meeting you again at SEMA.
That's Daily Drive for Friday, July 24th. Thank you for joining me this week. For breaking news, go to autonews.com. And to catch up on nearly 100 stories, go to autonews.com/daily drive. Let's close the week with some words from our sponsor. Have a terrific weekend.
Give inventory and express one-way ticket off your lot with TradeRev, dealer-to-dealer digital auction platform revolutionizing automotive sales. Selling with TradeRev gives you the speed, ease, and convenience of a live digital auction combined with the power and scale of ADESA's physical and digital marketplaces. Why settle for a single-channel solution when TradeRev and ADESA give you so much more? ADESA and TradeRev's combined buyer base is 150,000 strong, meaning you get more eyes, more bids, and more money on every sale. TradeRev helps you move fast. Launch digital auctions in minutes right from your lot and send non-sales off-site to sell through ADESA's digital and physical channels. TradeRev understands your bottom line. Get every dollar out of your trades with profits that consistently beat the industry average. Enjoy peace of mind. No arbitrations and no hassles with TradeRev's optional seller protection plan. Start selling with TradeRev today and watch your auction inventory ride off into the sunset. Learn more about our pricing plans and introductory sell fees as low as $0 at traderev.com/gone and join the revolution today. That's TradeRev, TRADEREV.com/gone.